Three, two, one. Hello and welcome to episode 76 of Ruse Radio. We are back again with a very special guest. Special guest, could you please introduce yourself?
Carlito A10 from the Fly City, Flint, Michigan. Yeah, no.
Now, Carlito, what does Flint mean to you?
I mean, Flint, I mean, that's why I put A10 on my name. Like, Flint is everything to me. Like, without Flint, would be no me. You know what I mean? Because all my experiences and everything I talk about comes from here. Or, I mean, I had out-of-town experiences as well, but my main experiences came from Flint. So, you know, that makes up the stories I tell or, you know, the feeling I feel. You know, I love my city, man. Like, I grew up in a different era where people, you know, show a lot of love. So, like, I still take that with me. So I don't let, like, new stuff phase me. Because, you know, you got to just keep, you got to keep being yourself. So Flint, you know, is everything. I just wish to get it together sometimes, you know, bullshit. But, yeah, you know, I love Flint.
How do we get it together? What do we do? That's been my question for a while.
For one thing, people got to love themselves. Because you can't love yourself, you can't love nobody else. And I think a lot of people don't love themselves. They do. They project themselves outwardly, you know, and clothes don't make you, cars don't make you, this shit don't make you. What makes you is you. And I think people get it misconstrued because they think in order for people to receive them, they got to have some nice things or something. No, just be yourself. Because if you want a if a person receive you for who you is, that's the type of person you want to receive you. You don't want nobody to receive you for what they think you got and what they think they can get from you. Who the hell wants that? Not me.
I think people respect when you be yourself, too. They like you more.
Yeah, they do. I don't have problems. And everybody know I'm silly. You know, I laugh a lot. You know, I say corny jokes. I say good jokes or whatever. I don't care. I'll be in the middle of a public place. If I see something funny, I might laugh out loud. And everybody might look at me. I don't give a fuck. Because, I mean, that's how I felt at the moment. And I thought it was free to be yourself. You know, it don't cost a thing.
No.
No, and it's priceless.
And I think it sets a good example, man. I really do. I think that people don't understand how to be themselves until they see people properly doing it. I really think so. I think a lot of people just lose the way. Because when you're kids, when you're a little kid, you're always acting like yourself. There's not even a question about it. I think there's just life stacks upon itself, and then people lose the way.
When you're a little kid, a lot of negativity hasn't entered your life yet.
Right. Yeah, you don't even understand.
As you grow older, the more negativity you face. So, you know, some people, you know, they face it and they let it consume them, you know. And some people just take it as a lesson and keep moving. You know, a lot of times, you know, you fail so you can learn not to fail again.
Yeah.
You know?
What is a lesson if it's not learned, you know? Like, what is it when these things happen if you don't take anything away from them, if you don't try to learn from them?
It's a lesson overlooked.
Yeah.
It's a missed opportunity.
Yeah. And I mean, even if life is a completely bleak thing and there is no direction for it, I think it would be healthier to imagine that those things do have a purpose and there is a direction and everything is happening for some reason, right?
Yeah.
Like, it just feels better to at least think, okay, well, that happened to me, so I can move in this new direction. Like, rather than just thinking, oh, man, that fucking sucks. Like, my life sucks. And it's very easy to just think things are bullshit. It's very easy to do that.
Oh, yeah. But if you know the history of life, you know, it's written anyway.
Yeah.
Everything is already prescribed. This is just an act in a movie.
We're in the middle of the loop.
So to you, it's something new or it's something that just happened. But to the creator, it was already wrote down eons ago before you were born. You know what I mean? So you just got to follow the path. You know, sometimes people just, you know, they want to get in the boat and they want to row upstream. Well, sometimes you just need to coast downstream and put the oars in the boat, you know, and let life guide you. That's a lot of people's problem. They try too hard to go against the grain when they should just relax and let life guide you.
I agree.
And the mission is, once you let life guide you, the mission is wonderful.
The mission confirms itself in a way.
Yeah, because, you know, this is what you was meant to do.
Yeah. Like, the writing's just on the wall when you allow yourself to look for it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But you got to look for it, though.
You got to look for it. And life's a funny thing, man. It's not always what you think it is. In fact, usually it isn't. Usually life leads you in a direction you would not expect, I feel like.
Well, I mean, yeah, from the beginning to the, you know, whoever knew that I'd be in music over 40 years, you know what I mean? From a record deal to still selling music, you know, and still relevant, you know what I mean? It was like, but... I was breakdancing, you know what I mean? So, like, you know, I had the big boombox. I mean, I had the Pumas with the fat strings in them and the Puma suits in.
Is this where it started?
This is where it all started.
Wow.
And I don't know if you know Shotgun from Top Authority. My first breakdance group was me and him. Him and my little brother, yeah. and we, like, that's my brother. So, like, we still, you know, that's we've been family all our life, so like when they were out and we were out, we would meet each other outside of town and see each other, and you know, we have separate shows or whatever, but.
Was breakdancing big at the time?
Hell yeah, we made money off of it. Back then, you know, like real shit, like we used to battle other neighborhoods like for the right to say you was better.
Like turf war.
Man, my boy Doss, man, my nephew Doss, his dad, Wade, actually, is the first person I saw do the moonwalk, and back then it was called the glide. So his daddy's actually the person that got me hip hop. Because he came out, I was like, man, you see that shit on Soul Train? I'm like, man, what up? He slid down the driveway. I'm like, oh shit. What the hell? He walking on air. Took me a week. Went in the room, had my socks on, pushed off the wall, fell down a couple times, and I started gliding it in. Went from there. And I could windmill, I could backspin. I mean, we did all that. Backflip. I used to do all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to do all that, man. We used to enter competitions and win money and all that. Yeah, it was great.
All that to say, you know, life leads you in these strange directions, yeah. Right? Because that's where it starts.
Right.
You would have never guessed.
Never thought from breakdancing I'd be rapping.
Yeah.
You know, but I had one when I was 17. LL Cool J, Run DMC, I want to say Salt and Pepper, Houdini. They came to, this is my very first concert. They came to Saginaw, right? So they had this contest on 107.1, which was the station in Saginaw. And you said a freestyle about the concert, and they played it all day, and if you was the top two, they was gonna play the top two, and then they was gonna vote, and they was gonna play it all day on the radio, and people was gonna vote on it, and you was gonna win tickets to meet them and all that, and I won that.
Oh.
Yeah, so, like, my people, they was coming in from out of town, and they was like, you know, back then we had no cell phone, so, you know, they called you on the phone. So they was like, Lokes, heard you on the radio, yeah, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah. So I actually, like, at 17, I got to meet LL Cool J, Salt and Pepper, Houdini, Public Enemy, and somebody else. UTFO, yeah. I got to meet all these people, and then, from there, I just, you know what I'm saying, started rapping. Like, but I used to just freestyle. I never, like, wrote songs.
Really?
I used to just freestyle. Like, my first 3 years in hip-hop, I just freestyled. I didn't never, and I won freestyle contests, too. I won, that's how I got this tattoo right there. I got that in Orlando, because I won the Golden Mic here, 2001. And then I won to go down to Orlando. They paid for my tickets and hotel. And they had it was called MMC, the Millennial Music Conference, and they had a contest down there for $2,000. They had like a showcase, and it was rappers, actors, and singers, and I won that too.
Really?
So I won $250 up here, and then I won that $2,000 down there. Yeah, then like
freestyling.
Yeah, well, I did a song down there, but I did have to, and at the end of the night, it was a tie between me and these kids, and I had to freestyle. And I freestyle about everybody in the audience.
To break the tie.
Yeah, to break the tie.
Yo, and that's dope.
And let me tell you, two of the judges, one was Professor Griff from Public Enemy.
Yeah.
He was the like the leader of their little dudes. And another dude was Nile Rodgers. I don't know if you know that, but he's a very influential, look him up. He's a very influential music producer. He just won a Grammy for, I think, a song with John Legend or something. Anyway, but he was one of the judges too, and they all told me like, you know, you got something special, you know, keep going. So I mean, like, I take all that, keep it moving.
Yeah.
You know, I done way more than that. You know what I'm saying? I met Pac, Big, Eazy-E, Old Dirty Bastard, kicked it with the Wu-Tang. You know what I'm saying? Like, I done a lot in life, man. Like, I died tomorrow, I done a lot in life.
But you could always tell some of those stories here on the Ruse podcast.
Oh, man.
It'd be a great place to tell those stories.
Hey, anytime.
You can just drop that on us.
Hey, we can have Lito stories. Like, you know, I got stories about, you know, Pac. I mean, everybody, most people here met him in Flint, but I met him in Atlanta before that. And we had almost got into an altercation.
No way.
Yeah, so, you know, that's a whole other story. And then he came up here, and then we hung out and kicked it all night until, so, yeah.
This is at, before or after he moved to Cuba?
Man, Pac is dead. Y'all better know that. I'm tired of people surfing them pictures of him on dreads and that goatee. I'm on this spot.
You know what? Now that we got this AI image thing, I think we'll never be able to know because they'll just generate fake images.
Man, they do that all the time, right. Once they did the holograph, man, it was on.
Dude, even that, like, that was about 10 years ago. Bro, it wasn't recent. So
no,
I'm
that was
sure
in Coachella.
We could do so much better now.
And that was dope, though.
Yeah, that was dope.
Oh, my God.
I'm surprised we haven't seen more of it. But, yeah, that was crazy.
It was crazy. And it looked like him, and it was, like, see-through, and he was, like, flat, and then he was, like, grounded. It was going around him. He was on stage. I mean, that
was
dope.
Well animated, too. Yeah, that's what blew my mind about it. It was just, like, it felt like you would... what it would look like if Tupac was performing if he weren't a hologram. Now, like, they nailed it.
Biggie, my favorite artist, but that shit they did in the metaverse, the hologram one.
I don't know about that.
You ain't see the Biggie concert in the metaverse?
Uh-uh.
Oh, yeah, I watched that. It was all right, though, but it was like...
What'd they do?
An animated Biggie doing the concert.
Oh.
And,
But it just wasn't... Okay, I see. Like the Tupac hologram things.
Dope. Right.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, it was like...
The metaverse ain't there yet, though.
Nah.
That's the problem.
Like it just didn't like...
Have you seen the Fortnite concerts?
The Travis Scott joint? Yeah.
Was it like that?
Nah, not really. Because it was like Sean walking through Brooklyn or whatever. Rapping.
Okay.
But like the animated figure they had, it just didn't... feel like, you know, close to Biggie type. Like that, like that hologram, you kind of felt Pop.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You kind of felt him. You know, his mannerism. It was kind of robotish.
Like the Biggie wasn't channeling the soul of Biggie. Like
Biggie
Tupac
was moving kind of roadblockish. Oh.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
So, yeah.
It sounds like some quality content at the very
least.
Yeah,
but I mean, I watched it just because I'm a fan, but, you know, I mean, I love the music, so.
It's funny. I don't even want the metaverse stuff or any of that to actually advance at all. Like, it's fun for what it is now, but it just scares me because I know what direction it's going in. Because you could look at it in a positive way and say it's a good place for artists and we're going to be able to expand and all this, but I feel like it's just going to, man, it's going to make people even weirder than they are now.
Yeah, they said that about social media.
Yeah, well.
It's not a good place. I mean, it's all right, but it ain't, because artists get caught up in it.
Yeah.
They start crying and shit on Facebook. Oh, ain't nobody like my music.
Because they didn't get as many likes views or plays.
You all like Jimmy shit, but y'all like, I'm doper than Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know? Like, who cares?
And
like,
that, yeah.
If somebody gonna listen, but don't make music for that. Make music for you because you love it. And if somebody listen, that, if one person listen, that's a gift.
Yeah, I think people lose, like, for me, that was the original spark that made me want to make music, is just the idea that my music could mean something else to someone else.
Yeah.
That's what makes me care about it. And so I think I have to imagine a lot of people have that same creative spark, and maybe they just lose the direction along the way. It's a lot of that,
I got fans in Serbia. I got people in Serbia to call me brother because of my music. And they sent me, my one boy, Luca, just sent me a voicemail the other day on Facebook and told me how I inspired him to be great. And his music, my music, to help him get through some things and stuff like that. That's what it's about.
Yeah, that's the most meaningful message you could probably get.
If you trying to come across and say something that, here's the thing, people don't understand. To have a voice in this world, period, where anybody's listening, that's a blessing. If you're so caught up on who's listening, how many people listen, then you're losing your content. Because that is in the back of your mind. So then you start going, well, let me try this and see. Man, fuck that. Do what you want. Do how what you feel. Somebody's going to feel you. if it's genuine. If it's fake, no. Fake people might feel you, but if you're a genuine person, you coming from a genuine place, somebody's going to feel you. Period. And I know that from facts, from me. I took a hiatus for 3 years, came back 2012. I stopped because I was on contractual obligations, so I quit until the contract was over because I wasn't giving them a dime. You know what I mean? And came back and was well-received. I have not had a problem. People know me right now like they knew me back then. And it's like, I mean, that's cool, but that's not what I do it for. People know me before music, though. I was in these streets. People knew me before music. So even after music, people know me, but people knew me before music. So sometimes people that know me because of me and my music, they already knew me anyway. So the music just said, oh, yeah, that is Los. That's Los. I was with him right there. That's Los. So they know it's true.
That's my favorite thing about doing things like this, is that you can have that type of open conversation in front of an audience. People identify with people just being themselves, 100%, just like you're talking about. Just be yourself. And I think something like this allows a medium where people can be themselves in this like non-deniable way. You know how hard it is to talk for 2 or 3 hours and not be yourself at some point?
At some point.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, them relationships. When a person, you know, is acting a certain way to reel you in, but they know that's what you're looking for, but they're really not that person. About 3-4 weeks later, this whole another person comes out because it was an act. You can only keep act up so long.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then the real gonna shine through. But if you know, and that's another thing too, but if you afraid of your real, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you gotta check yourself before you wreck yourself.
I was about to do that.
Check your dog.
So, you were showing me some new music just before we hopped on this podcast. Is there anything you can tell the people about that new music you were showing me? Is there any, what is your direction that you feel like you're going in now?
Well, I'm just trying to, my first rap group was with me and Eric Breed. First rap group. He was the beatboxer and I was the rapper. This was way before he was rapping. And we used to practice. We did a show at 7-Eleven on Carpenter Road, Carpenter and DuPont, with this other crew called, this other guy called Bodak. We did it. It was one of my first shows. You know what I mean? So, like, my direction has always been my direction. Wherever the music takes me, I'm a ride it. But I feel like I'm like an ambassador, like, because I fuck with old niggas and I fuck with the young kids. You know, I fuck with everybody doing good music. You know what I mean? Like you said, Cameron Tyler. Ace Cabana, you know what I'm saying? Taylor Tatum is my niece, you know what I mean? You know, all these people, Rich Clay, Bam on the Beat, you know what I mean? Kevin Clouds, all of my people, you know what I'm saying? And then, like, the new producers, Rail, you know, Top Chef Rail, he's so dope. He just did a song with Jacobfella called Get Me a Beat, Jacobfella shout out, you know what I mean? Lennon Smiley, he's dope. They collab and did a mixtape, gotta check it out. I forgot the name, but Israel and Lennon Smiley, they did a mixtape, it's pretty dope. And you know, I got some beats from them. And I'm just trying to bridge the gap, really. You know, keep it hip hop, but show people that you can still be yourself on whatever type of beat it is. You can still flow. If that's what you wanna do, that's what I wanna do. I can't even tell everybody what they wanna do, you know what I mean? But these new projects that I'm putting out, I got a project coming out with Charles Wheat Left. That's my dog, you know what I mean? He been behind me on my engineering. You already know. That's cool, bro. He just moved to Nashville. What up, Wheat? You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
He was at school before he moved to Nashville.
Yep, in Arizona.
He's actually, while we're on this topic, man, I got to shout out Wheat as well because he, I feel like, is one of the motivators for my move. He's been a voice of reason when it comes to this honesty behind his move and how he didn't have much clientele or much room for expansion in this area. And just by escaping Flint, he was able to tap into something much larger. And to him, I imagine that's very gratifying. And he's a first-hand account of that possibility inspired me a lot, just it motivating me to actually go for it, you know, somebody successfully doing it.
Yeah, and definitely, because like I said, you know, when he was in Arizona, he was building connections. Then now he's in Nashville. So now he's in a music city, and he has these, now he has his, you know, he got his certificate from CRAS, so now he's a licensed and accredited engineer. You know what I mean? So
it's a great
to be in Nashville and be an accredited engineer. Come on, man. Come on, it's a no-brainer.
I like the way his story's going.
Yeah, no-brainer. He ain't, you know, now he's hanging out, listening to live music. Now he know how to do live music, hip hop, rap, country. He can do it all now. So he's not got to be, you know, stuck in a box of just hip hop. Because you know, around here, it'd be the same people going to the same studios. It really ain't no new. Because it's the same group of people going to the same places.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, but...
And also, while we mention him, he was the guy who pushed me to improve my sound more than anyone. I mean, when I met him, it was through R-Line. And we were recording R-Line, the song Dreams together.
Yeah.
And also, fun fact about that song, his dog, Icy, was at the house. And the song, Icy. I say, in my dreams, Icy.
Yeah.
So I just, I imagine the dog kept
She probably was like, well, who calling me?
Said Icy a million times.
Yeah, she loving it too down there. I just seen her on the live. She down there loving it. She up there down there loving
it. Oh, I bet. For a dog?
Yeah.
That hot weather.
Man, she was out, you know, when they was in Arizona, they was like desert. So she could run. You know, she wasn't cooped up all the time.
I bet. I can only imagine.
Yeah.
But yeah, he inspired me a lot. And just also what was so great about him in particular is that he was willing to tell me exactly how he was doing everything. He was the one who told me, like, yo, I get these plugins from here. And that's, I'm telling you, he's literally the reason my music improved.
He shares his knowledge. He definitely shares his knowledge. He has no problem sharing knowledge for anybody to be better because he just wants people to be better.
Exactly. And, and I love people like that. And I just shout out to him.
Yeah, shout out to me.
I wouldn't be where I am today musically if it weren't for him. So
My next project is a 3-song EP with Weak, produced by Weak. And it's called 2012, right out of left field.
Ooh, now how close are we to this release?
Close. I'm just waiting on the mix and mastering, Charles.
So it's all written. It's all recorded.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Just waiting on it to get mixed and mastered. So I'm about to record the new stuff with Lennon and Realm now. And I'm recording that at Fontaine's, you know, from Coalition. You know, shout out Young Dan, my peoples, you know what I'm saying? Shout out DJ Clay. That's where I started at. You know, that's who I had a record deal with DJ Clay. Shot my first video in Cali. You know what I'm saying? This is before cell phones and all that. Video cost $28,000. We shot it in downtown L.A. Shot one spot. We was on a building with helicopter flying around with lights on this. Yeah, it was crazy. We was down there. I got to freestyle in a lot of little shops down there and stuff and build a brand or whatever. Yeah, we was signed to Arista Records.
Okay.
I've been to Suge Knight's office. I've been to Death Row Records. They was thinking about signing this. You know what I'm saying? We've been in there, you know what I mean, talking to the people, but man, we ain't go that way. Glad we didn't either.
Yeah, you've heard some horror stories.
Man, I'm just saying, bro. Fuck that. I couldn't be that way. You know what I'm saying? When we got in there, you know, it was strange aura up in there anyway. You know what I'm saying? And plus, you know, we got people from Cali, so we know We know the whole gang culture and all that, and you know we've been around it. You know I got a chance to hang with, some, you know, a whole clubs full of gangbangers in Cali, chilling. You know what I'm saying? So I done moved around a lot. Never really had no problems. So, but we know that culture. So you know, sometimes you gotta know when everything might look good, but if you look deeper, sometimes it's on the surface, and beyond that, it's terrible.
Everything is a ruse.
Right. Real talk.
Boom. That is how I like to describe the name, because it is really like that. I like to warn people in life.
Right.
Like, you know, everything. Even people you know for years and years and years, we're all not really, we don't know what we are.
No.
Like, everything's a ruse. We're all trying to understand and then play a role and fit whatever position that we're in. It's just life. This is what it is. And some people are really good at that, and some people aren't very good at that.
And that's why your name means so much.
Yes.
It's like my name. You see this? See, what y'all don't know
I love that logo,
What y'all don't know is, you know, this is an arrowhead, right?
Now, for the audio listeners, he's got Carlito 810 shaped just like an arrowhead right on his t-shirt.
So what's the arrowhead made out of? Flintstone.
Boom.
So my name is encased in a Flintstone because I am a Flintstone. So that's I drew this and made this logo myself. So,
wow, man,
definitely.
Wow, and I also shout out to the hoodie that delicately placed behind you
with the logo right here on front. You know, Carlito 810 logo. You know.
Are these available for purchase?
All the time.
Now, how much is it? $10 or something like that for
shirts? Be like 20. Hoodies be like 40.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying.
Honestly, I'm considering myself. I kind of like it, man. It looks cool.
And I got, I was going to wear my other shirt. You know, I got the Property of the Fly shirts, too. And it says Property of the Fly, 1819, because that's when Flint was established, in 1819. So, yeah.
It's on brand, too. Yeah. Carlito 810.
Yes, sir.
I like it.
Yeah, I just try to, I just represent my city, represent me, man, through the music, through the fashion. You know, shout out to Basheem, CNO, H&R, that's who do my shirts. And that's my partner. You know what I'm saying? So, he got the shop popping. So we about to do some more stuff. Shout out to Culture. You know what I mean? That's another brand. Shout out to my boy Shotgun. He got the Michigan Made brand. You know what I mean? Shout out to Flex. You know what I'm saying? Top Authority, TDF. Oh yeah, hey, prayers for Ghetto E from TDF. He needs y'all prayers. I don't know the situation, but he's in the hospital. And if y'all could, give up his prayers. I know it's going to be a month later, so hopefully he'll still be around for them prayers. For real.
Hopefully he's better.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Jeez.
Yes.
Jeez. Now, I'm not terribly familiar with Flint hip-hop history either. I just don't know much about it. I really don't. Like, if you had to give me a quick recap of Flint hip-hop history, because it sounds like you were deeply integrated with a lot of it.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I was there from the start.
Because, I mean, even for people, even not just for me, but for people watching this who, like, might just not understand how Flint's hip-hop history has went. Is there a way that you think you could tell that story?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
So the first hip-hop, we got to start with R&B first, all right? Because before hip-hop, we had Ready for the World. First platinum artist from Flint. And from that, Flint had a little sight, little people looking. So then Bree came out with Ain't No Future in Your Front. That blew up. First hip-hop album from Flint to blow up like that. Now, before Bree, there was Kid Flash and the Task Force. They did a lot of shows at all the concerts. Then you had Bodae. He did a lot of shows. And he was the local people. You know what I'm saying? And then, so after Bree came out, then TDF came out. And Top Authority, that was around the same time. And Jake the Flake, and us, Rough and Rugged. So from there, we probably moved on from like 9 to about 9. We still doing music, but then like after that, you had, who else came after that? We had Me Fi Me. He was a major artist too. My boy LaRon, he was on Video Soul and everything. And dang, who else? Trying to think. We had so many, man. We had Faces of Death. We had Be Mad. We had Westpac. Cold Blue. I'm missing some. Ready Ace. Modern Day Mobsters. H.A.N. All of them came in the same, in that time period. It's like that 10-year time period. It was like a 10-year time period. Then you had Bang Town. My boy, he did like most of the sound back then. And then my boy DJ Clay, we had the spot on Door Highway where it was a radio, it was a studio, clothing spot, beeper place, and cell phone place.
All four?
Yeah.
What?
Yep. Yeah, Coalition.
How does that even work?
Man, we had it going, man. Coalition came out of there. That was a hip-hop group. Kind of went on after Rough and Rugged, kind of went to the wayside. We actually did a show at Capitol with ICP and Onyx.
And really?
I actually did a freestyle with Sticky Fingers in the studio, because they came to the studio and we hung out and smoked some weed and shit. And
was this when you were just freestyling?
I had songs. This is when I had the Rough and Rugged album out, but I still was freestyling all the time.
Yeah.
Even when I wrote songs, I still freestyle. But so
Freestyle's fun.
Yeah, it is. So me and Sticky Fingers went in the booth, and I ain't trying to be funny, but I did murder him. It's on the ADAS somewhere, but yeah. He looked at me like, oh, yeah, I was on that. Well, I mean, that was me, though. That's me. I mean, when it comes to music, I'm 10 toes down. I love music. You know, I'm going to do music until I die. Or if I can't talk or whatever, I'm doing music. I don't give a fuck. Nobody say, by no age or none of that, good music is timeless and priceless. So as long as I keep putting out quality content, man, you can't tell me nothing.
What draws you to music in particular? What is it that makes music such a driving force?
Freedom of expression. You can be yourself. You can just, you know, you can be yourself and not be persecuted for it. You know what I mean? Like, you can say what you, if you feel like you got mad because somebody ran over your shoe and you wanted to shoot them, you can write about that. You're not going to have to actually do it, but you can write about it and nobody gets hurt and you got it off your chest. You know? I mean, I don't do that, but, you know.
Well, there's all kinds of things you can write about, man.
And yeah, I'm just saying, you know.
I also like the way you can exaggerate, and even that is, like, the hyperbole of it, and the way you can what I always love so much about writing is I feel like I'm able to tap into something where I can say these words in a more fluent way than if I were to even try to say them to you regularly. Like, if I were to try to spell it out to you in a sentence, it wouldn't work as well as if I wrote it into a rap.
I got a fun fact for you.
Okay.
You just mentioned the word hyperbole.
Yeah.
You know what it looks like in a mathematic form?
No.
That's hyperbole.
Yeah.
Yes. I had trigonometry, so.
Sounds about right. It's just a big whoop. Yep. That is a hyperbole.
That's hyperbole.
You know, exaggeration.
In mathematical form.
Makes sense.
Crazy. Things you learn on the Roots Show.
Hey, that was something for you guys. If you wanted to learn anything from this podcast, boom, you just got
hyperbole.
It.
Hyperbole. Look
oh,
it
and
up.
I guess for the audio listeners, they didn't even see what you did. It's like a big...
It's a big loop.
How would you even describe it? Like a big loop. Big a whoop.
Go down, go up to a high point, then come back down.
Yeah, a big swoop, a
sort
high peak.
Sort of like, I got you, sort of like the St. Louis Arch.
Oh, yes. That's actually a beautiful description.
I'm a very... I'm a great visualizer.
So if y'all want to know, if you want to write it down in a sentence, a mathematical hyperbole is like the St. Louis Arch.
Yeah. Might have to put that in the rhyme.
I know. That's what I was thinking. It's got a roll to it.
Just
saying. It kind of makes sense. But I was going to say, too, it rings in my head as you say all that stuff about being yourself. As I say this about being able to communicate an idea through music better than in a sentence. My latest song, not the latest song by the time we release this podcast. But
right.
It's called Basically. And
basically.
Yeah, basically. And you got it. That is it. That's the idea.
And basically.
And the chorus goes, ain't nobody gonna take that away. I swear no one can tell me nothing. God's got no explaining to do.
Right.
If you told me how to say, if you explain, I could fake it and love it. There's no me if I'm basically you. And the whole idea is that no one can tell you how to be yourself. Like, there's no explaining that God has to do
no.
to tell you how to be. Like, life just happens, and you just figure out how to proficiently do better at being yourself all the time. And I feel like we were saying earlier, people lose sight of that. And I think it's, for me, it's such a nice thing that I have music as this avenue to express that idea. Because as I say it in the sentence, it doesn't resonate in the same way that it would if you just play that song and... It's just an emotion that people can feel. I mean, I think music does that magically. You
music,
can just say things in such a way.
Music is therapy.
It is.
You know, if you talking to the mic is just like you laying on the couch talking to a psychiatrist or psychologist. Really.
Yeah.
Because you get to get all, I mean, if you use music for what it was intended to do, because it's intended to be freedom of expression and you expressing your individuality. So... You know, at whatever time that you write the music, you know, it's whatever, you know, feelings that you're having at the moment. You got some good, you got some happy music, got some sad music, got some mad music. You can have all that because at that time, that's what you wanted to express. But just like all my songs, like when I listen to them, it's like, you know, I reminisce on the things I was going through in them times, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then I'd be like, yeah, that was, you know, I made it through. A lot of that, you know, to me, music too is a, for me, is a time stamp of my life, you know, for what I was doing at that moment. Helps you relive the moments vividly, you know, because music always triggers something.
Yeah.
You know, that one line triggers something. Oh, dang, I remember that. I remember why I wrote that. You know what I'm saying? I remember why I wrote that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Or whatever. So, I mean, so it's, music is very healthy. You know, if you don't get caught up in all the rigmarole of let's be famous and buy a Bentley and all that shit and just do music for doing music, you'll be all right. And if it comes, cool. If not, you're still making timeless music. And you making some, you might die and your music might blow up after you die. So your kids got something. It's a chance. So many songs that people have been dead and they've been on a commercial or something and then got right back famous, you know?
And it's the fact that they were relentless in that pursuit, even yeah. though they weren't, you know,
they got a catalog.
Successful. Yeah.
You know, it wasn't that one song. Yeah, well, this guy got 50 songs.
Yeah.
So then, oh my God. You know what I mean? I mean, you never know. But you can't force it. It's going to happen when it's supposed to happen. If it is supposed to happen.
Yeah, perhaps you would be ahead of your time. Like, you wouldn't even know if you were.
Right. Yeah. It's like everybody say, you know, my music, I've always, that's my problem. I'm always ahead of my time. I'm always somewhere else instead of in the moment. But I just do what the music says. Wherever it takes me is where I go.
That's how I like to put it when it comes to my songwriting process. I like to think that I'm not even trying to rap. I just hear the beat, and then it's, okay, this is where the beat wants me to go. I like to let the music guide me.
Right.
I think that's a good way to do it. It's just,
it is.
That's how you get that natural flow, in my opinion. It's just by letting the music tell you what the flow is.
Definitely.
Because the music, there's so many different things that every different beat will do, and you can't. That's why I think it's so valuable to be flexible as a rapper or a singer, because you never know what situation you're going to be where the beat's going to ask you to do this.
Man, bro, I could tell you one story. I'm going to do that. What time is
it? Oh, what time do you have to get out of here? How long from now?
Probably like 10 minutes.
Okay, cool. So we'll do another little story. 10 right, minutes, we'll wrap up. Cool.
So this one time I was in East St. Louis, right? So I had this song called Swing Some Rough. Now, I had done this song with, like, you know what I'm saying? I had opened up for Fugees and Scarface and I never had a problem with this song, right? So the call should be like, can I swing it? And the crowd would say, hell yeah. And like, can I swing it? And this was our hit, hell yeah, they're like, come on, swing some rough. So I'm in St. Louis, East St. Louis. Now I'm in this club. It's one way in, one way out. It's like 100 dudes, probably like 2 chicks up in there. And like this one guy was called Volume 10, which we did like some shows with him. You know what I'm saying? So his song was Pistol Grip Pump on My Lap at All Times. Pistol Grip Pump on My Lap at All Times. So he went on first and shit. So you know what I'm saying? Crowd in there, killing it. So like I was hip hop, like straight East Coast hip hop. Now we in East St. Louis, right? So it was my turn to get up. So I do my little shit, you know, can I swing it? And they supposed to say, hell yeah. Man, these motherfuckers said, hell no. Bro,
and not good.
Looked at me serious as hell, said, hell no. Loud! Hell no! Looked at my boy like, oh, shit. I'm like, we got a gun. We got guns in the car. I'm looking like, I know karate, so I've been taking martial arts. So I'm thinking, like, I'm about to kick this motherfucker in the head. We got to get out this dough. Then I'm looking at my man. He looking. I'm like, let me try it again. Can I swing it? Even louder. Hell no! Oh, cuz. Now, this is where freestyle and Mobb Deep saved my life. Looked at him. I'm like, shit. Went to the DJ. Yo, you got Mobb Deep Shook Ones instrumental? He was like, yeah, because that was hot back then. You know, got you shook off the realness. We be the infamous. You heard of us. Official Queen Prince murdered us, right?
This is before Lose Yourself came out, right?
Yeah.
Before the whole movie, 8
Mile,
because in 8 Mile, that's what they used at the end.
They bit the beat.
Now when people hear that, they think
bit
of that.
The beat. They bit the beat. So you shook. Ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. Scared to death and scared to look. You shook. Ain't no such anything. Play the music. All some motherfuckers start moving their head. I'm like, all right, y'all motherfuckers want to hear some shit, huh? So I freestyle about all the dudes up in the club. And they love me. The motherfuckers are hugging me and shit. I'm trying to get out the door to get to the van to get the gun. Man, you dope, man, blah, blah, blah. So that right there, like, was a changing point in my music. Because, like, I was straight East Coast, like, hippity-hop type shit, you feel me? But I was also a hustler in the streets. So that told me right there, like, I got to have different music for different places. That wasn't the right song for that spot. New York, that shit kills. Cali, that shit kills. East St. Louis, I almost got killed. Shout out to East St. Louis, though. But like I said, freestyling Mobb Deep saved my life that night.
I can't imagine being a comedian. Those guys have to, like, go around to different cities and try to do the same jokes or switch them up. Like, you can't make the same abortion joke in Texas and Michigan.
Oh, hell no.
You can't do it.
Hell no.
It does not hit the same in both states.
Hell no.
Yeah. Just don't work like that.
Bro, I'll never forget that, bro. Ever, bro.
It's wild. I mean,
they all got together on that. Yeah. Fuck this nigga. Hell no.
So I mean, have you went back there since?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even think that club did, but my family's from East St. Louis, so I had already been in East St. Louis. I just wanted to rap. I was a breakdancer, actually, when I was in East. Uh-huh. And they loved me as a breakdancer. They just didn't like that song. But when I did the freestyle, they loved me. Because yeah. I rapped about motherfuckers and he was looking around, oh, you talking about me? Type shit, so.
And I guess the message we can leave with people for this podcast then is, like, life is a freestyle, folks. All right? Recognize that freestyle and then roll with it and look what happened. Look what happens. Everybody's not even letting you leave the club to get your gun.
Man, they loving me.
That's a happy ending to the story.
Happy
right there.
Ending. And then we hung out with them in the parking lot and drank some beers and told some stories and all that. Like, it was just me and him, me and my boy DJ Clay, man, shout out Clay. You know what I'm saying? You know, so I got, you know what I'm saying? Check me out, Def OJ, D-E-F-O-J, that's out right now. That's got over 240,000 streams on Spotify, I believe.
Woo!
The single Coquito has 140,000 streams.
Woo!
Yeah, that's that. Then I got Born Identity, Born Ultimatum, that's all Carlito A10. Then the new joint is 2007 and Nick Diamond Files. I got the 2012 Right From Left Field coming. I got the joint with Rel, Lennon Smiley, Doss, and all that. I'm trying to get my cousin, my nephew, Louis Toon. Shout out Louis Toon on it. You know what I'm saying? Shout out Jeff Sky. You know what I'm saying? That's my dog. You know what I mean? So, yeah. And that's going to come out. I think that's going to be called Epic. I think I'm going to call that one Epic, E-P-I-C. So, yeah, then more coming after that, man. I don't know yet, but I'm working on the book. You know what I'm saying? The life and rhymes of Carlos. I'm working on that right now, so.
The life of rhymes.
The life and rhymes.
The life and rhymes.
Like life and times.
Aha!
The life and rhymes of Carlos.
Oh.
So, yeah. So I'll tell you my journey from being a kid to being a grown-ass man.
I love it, man.
So you can get me on any platform of Carlito A10, any platform. YouTube, check out my videos. Yeah, and just look for the new music, man. It's going to be hot. And I appreciate you, Bruce, man. For real, I appreciate it. I'm glad I got it in for you left.
Yeah, man, I'm glad you stopped by. I appreciate you for being here. I wish we could have done it longer.
I know, man.
This is a busy man we got here.
I
got
to work, man.
Yeah.
Got to pay them bills.
And I don't blame you, man. I'm happy you were able to make time to even be here.
Oh, man,
for
I appreciate
real.
You making time. You know what I'm saying? Shout out Joey Koff. It's my dog. Shout out Joey. That's my dog, you know what I'm saying? So
shout out Joey Koff for
definitely,
real.
Definitely, definitely. So
I want to get him back on the podcast at least one more time before I get out of here. He's my longest episode yet, believe it or not.
Yeah,
he's 3 hours 40 minutes.
Damn.
I did not expect that one to go that long.
He's funny as hell, though.
But it was great. No, yeah. Man, me and him just got a natural. He's a great guy to talk to.
Oh yeah,
natural.
definitely.
Yeah.
I got some Joey Koff stories. Say that for the next one.
We sure will. And thank you so much for being here.
Hey, I appreciate you, bro.
Boom. For thank real. You guys so much for watching.
Thank y'all, man. Make sure y'all listen to Carlito. Everyone know all the new stuff coming, man. I got Heat, new joint, Mercy, No Vacancy, and I Still Love Her. Those are three videos out. If you watch those in unison from 1 to 3, it makes a mini movie.
Ooh, there it is.
Yes.
And... thing I always leave you guys with, go do something cooler than us, all right? Go do something even better than this conversation. This conversation was great, but I want you to go change the freaking world, all right? Go be cooler than me. That's all I want to see.
Go outside.
Go outside. Go outside. Even going for a walk, that's cooler than us sitting in these chairs and talking. You see what I'm saying? Just do something nice. Treat yourself today. How about that?
Treat yourself. Don't beat yourself.
Ruse Radio. Clocking out.